John, as always, we appreciate this a ton. And how giddy are you that we get to see the World Series go the distance?
No, it is exciting. I mean, it's another day of people writing articles about how baseball's dying or there's not enough eyeballs or all that kind of stuff. That's the negative part, I guess, for some people. But, I mean, the game has put on a good show this month. So for those of us who do care, and there's, last I checked, still millions and millions, and it's nearly a $9 billion industry. It's been a pretty good show. Each individual game in this World Series hasn't been necessarily competitive, but there have been some really fun performances, and I hope we get an epic Game 7. And we haven't had a ton of Game 7s in the last 10, 15 years. I'm looking forward to one tonight.
So how surprised are you? I mean, obviously it's surprising to see anybody win 10-0 in a World Series game. But to see Kansas City respond the way they did in Game 6, facing elimination for the first time in a playoff series in 2014, that they responded the way they did, that they were able to force a Game 7. Did that surprise you at all?
It did surprise me that Ventura pitched as well as he pitched. I mean, the kid's 23 years old, and that he completely shut down the Giants' offense, which has been pretty productive in San Francisco. That surprised me. I wasn't surprised that Kansas City won, though, because just Jake Peavy has just been so bad in his career in the postseason, and it's really weird. I mean, it's a guy who won a Cy Young Award, although quite a few years ago in San Diego, but he still has pretty good stuff, and he was quite good for the Giants in the second half. He's a big reason why they were the wild card team. But he's just been historically, I believe he has the worst ERA in postseason history for pitchers thrown as many innings as he's pitched. So just historically, he's been a brutal postseason pitcher. And when the Giants decided to start him and not start Yusmeier Petit or maybe move up Vogelsong or try something else, I did think the Giants were at a decided disadvantage in that game with the energy that the Royals get from their crowd. So 10-0, a blowout. I didn't expect a blowout. I did expect the Giants to lose with Peavy on the mound. He's just been that bad lately.
Yeah, it certainly was curious. I mean, knowing the postseason success Vogelsong has had, you thought maybe they'd go that way. Why do you think the Giants decided to go with Peavy and stick with their rotation? I guess, is it just kind of having faith in your decisions and having faith in your players?
I think that's really what it boils down to, is that, you know, Bruce Bochy and Dave Rigetti have done this a long time. And one of the reasons they've done it a long time and been so successful is they've shown that kind of faith in their players, and usually their players reward them. So, you know, Jake Peavy just wasn't able to do it. And hey, it's not like the Royals torched him in that inning. There were some dinks and some dunks, and he had a key play of the second inning last night was the little infield hit by Infante that was later changed to a fielder's choice, but the one where Belt, you know, should have known the runner at third was Sal Perez.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be coming home. And that misplay opened the floodgates, but, you know, Hosmer's double, he hit it two inches. He hit it hard, but he chopped it right off the ground. Aoki's hit wasn't hit hard. Kane was a blooper. So the only big hit in that inning that was really squared up was Billy Butler to right center field, and by that time it was already 6-0. So it's not the, you know, you got to have a little luck, but the Royals had that, but they have the speed and athleticism to take advantage of whenever a break does go their way, and that's why they've been successful this year. That's why they've been successful in the postseason, and their speed and athleticism continues to play, and it's a very fun style of baseball to watch. And I've had a lot of fun watching the Royals, not just the underdog story. That part's great. Their fans' passion, that's all great. But to me, it's the style of baseball they play that is a very entertaining style to watch.
He is John Manuel of Baseball America joining us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Okay, you mentioned the underdog story and the feel-good story that are the Kansas City Royals, but now they're more than that, right? Like, they're no longer just a feel-good story. Like, they're a really good baseball team, too.
Yeah, I think in every sport, I'm sure this happens in hockey, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when one team wins, their style or their approach becomes a template that other teams try to emulate. So will the Royals become this template of where other teams try to accentuate speed, defense, athleticism going forward? It might be. It's a very old-school baseball approach, but the trends in the game have certainly been more the analytical walks, three-run homers, that style of play that was celebrated so well in Moneyball. But this is not a team that plays that style. They had fewer than 100 home runs, the fewest home runs for a postseason teams as the Dodgers in 1988. It's power arms out of the bullpen that you want to try to emulate, I think, as well. That's a trend that's throughout the sport. That's probably the worst trend in baseball is the bullpens, because, I mean, it's great when a pitcher starts an inning, but there's nothing more boring in the world of sports than a pitching change. Nothing. And that's, to me, pitching changes are the number one reason why baseball ratings are down, is because pitching changes are boring, and when the game's supposed to get more interesting in the late innings of a close game, it often gets less interesting because relief pitchers, A, can be so effective, and B, because it's just boring to watch pitching changes. And I hate matchup lefties. I hate them. It's just a bad – it's just not something that's fun to watch. But it can be fun to watch Wade Davis dominate the way he dominates, or Greg Holland, and that very effective Royals bullpen. And thankfully, they're effective, so they usually don't make changes in the middle of innings. So the key for the Giants tonight, obviously, they got to get a lead early, because you cannot trail the Royals with that crowd and that bullpen. If the Giants were to come back late in the game to win Game 7 of a World Series, that'd be one of the biggest stunners of all time, because that, you know, Herrera, Davis, and Holland have been unbelievable at the back of the Royals bullpen, and that's the number one reason that they're in position to win a World Series championship.
John, you take a look at this series and the six games that have been played so far. Only Game 3 was anywhere, you know, close to being a close baseball game. Everything else has been pretty much a walk for the winning team. How come the margins have been as large as they've been?
You know, I think so much of each individual game comes down to pitching matchups and how each team uses their bullpen in that day. So when you've had a blowout like last night, you know, A, you had Ventura really shove, you know, against the Giants, and the Giants' bullpen couldn't put out that fire in that 6-7-run second inning. So, and the same thing was happening Game 5. Number one, Bumgarner was just so good for the Giants. And then, you know, late in the game, the Giants were able to put things away. So I think it really just comes down to both these teams. The reason they were wild card teams and 88 or 89 win teams, not 95 win teams, is they have good starting pitching, but not super deep starting pitching. They have good bullpens when they have a lead. And the Giants have Romo and Casilla and Affelt they can go to. But when they're losing, you know, Gene Machi, Hunter Strickland, these other relievers, they can be exploited, so you can blow those guys out. It's the same thing we've seen with the Royals. Those top three guys I just mentioned are outstanding in the bullpen. If they use anybody else, it's an adventure. So that's how you've gotten some of these blowout kind of games. They are both good offensive teams. I mean, I think the Giants are a much more offensive team than people give them credit for. Really, to me, their identity right now as an organization is offense. Panic, Sandoval, Posey, those are all homegrown, above-average offensive performers, and Panic's been really fun to watch as a rookie with that kind of patient and advanced offensive approach.
With John Manuel of Baseball America, as we preview Game 7 of the World Series tonight. It is live on Sportsnet West and live here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, just starting after 6 o'clock, and looking forward to seeing who gets decided as World Series champion tonight in Kansas City. Knowing that the Giants, and when you and I talked last, you made a really good point, and you said you can't really call the Giants a dynasty, because their three trips to the World Series in 5 years have kind of been done by different teams and different core groups. But knowing Bruce Bochy and knowing a couple of the guys who have been through these grinds before, how much does the experience of the Giants in World Series games and in situations like this play into Game 7 tonight?
You know, they do have several players who were part of that 2012 team, Pence, Sandoval, Posey, Crawford, Belt, all those guys were on that 2012 club. But that team kind of wanted a blowout. You would think that the experience would help a little bit, but I think the experience that helps is almost counterbalanced more by the crowd. And in Game 7, you should have energy, you know, but for a pitcher, that might be too much nervous energy. And Tim Hudson, and he may be 39 years old, but this is his first World Series. This is the first time he's ever been on a team that's won a playoff series. So, you know, the fact that he's the oldest pitcher ever to start a World Series game, I'm not sure if that's going to help him or hurt him. And maybe it helps him settle him down against a very vocal, rabid crowd. But, you know, he doesn't have experience in that, in this environment. And none of these players really do. So I think it does help to an extent. I think it's overcome on the other side by the fact that the Royals are so much more athletic, but they do, to me, have a crowd that they feed off of. And as a young team, I think that crowd really plays a big part of it. I'm surprised by how much the home field advantage actually has mattered. I know that each team has stolen a game on the road, but you could have felt it last night that the Royals crowd really played a big part, I thought, in that second inning rally where just things just did not, every little break went Kansas City's way. And it feels like that happens a lot more at home than it does on the road.
I want to ask you about this pitching matchup. You just mentioned 39-year-old Tim Hudson, Jeremy Guthrie on the mound for the Kansas City Royals. What strikes you about these two guys as they start the most important games of their careers?
Well, I think you'll know with Hudson immediately. If he's elevating early, he'll be overamped. He'll be too excited. He's a sinker, cutter, split finger guy at this point in his career. So if he misses, and he misses at the ankles, then he's okay. But if he misses at the thigh or higher, he's going to be in trouble and he'll be yanked very quickly. Really, to me, all the Giants are looking for is give us three or four innings with a lead so we can go to Bumgarner and hold take that lead to our Affelt, Romo, Casilla in the back of their bullpen. I mean, that's the game plan for Boach. Now, on the other side, to me, Jeremy Guthrie, he can be good for three or four innings and then blow up, because he's just a really four-pitch guy where everything's kind of average. I've always been a big Jeremy Guthrie fan back to when he played at Stanford, a really bright guy, engaging interview. I really like him. But Tim Hudson was my second interview ever at Baseball America. So my heartstrings are pulled in both directions on those guys. I think with Hudson, though, you will know very quickly whether he's going to give that team five or six innings, two or three times through the order, or if he's going to be out quickly because with a sinker baller, you usually know quicker than a guy like Guthrie, who's a little bit more of a fly ball pitcher, should be, has been well suited to that ballpark where it's hard to get the ball out with those 387-foot gaps in left center and right center. But to me, you'll know quicker with Hudson if he's off.
All right, John, we'll put you on the spot a little bit. Game 7 of the World Series tonight. Who do you like? Who are you kind of putting your weight behind? And who comes away as the 2014 World Champion?
Well, I am picking the Giants, and I pick them at the start of the series. I do like the pitching matchup for them. I do like Tim Hudson, his chances in this game. He's been around a long time. I do think he's a guy who's going to get some balls down in the dirt. And one X factor for me with him is Brandon Belt has had a terrible series defensively at first base. Wouldn't shock me if a ground ball where you're looking for that ground ball and you get it when you need it, and if your defense lets you down, then you get let down. So I am picking the Giants. I think if they get an early lead off Guthrie, you're going to see Bumgarner, and I think Bumgarner will be good enough out of the Giants bullpen to take it through to the rest of their guys. So and Boach, I trust, I suppose.
Fair enough, and he's got the track record to say something like that. John, as always, appreciate this. You've been so much help to us throughout the entire 2014 season and postseason. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy Game 7 tonight, my friend.
Hey, thanks. I'll do my best. And same to you. Thank you.